The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you for what you're doing amongst us. Oh, we will never be careless to think that it is man doing these things. We recognize that you are the one working amongst us and doing these great things amongst us. We are grateful to you. Thank you, Father. In all sincerity of heart, I want to say we thank you. Thank you for being everything. Thank you for the lives you've changed over the years and the lives you're changing till today. Thank you for the people you are touching. Thank you for your ability that works in us. Thank you. We're grateful to you. Thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the privilege of church. Thank you. Thank you for everything. We are grateful to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And we acknowledge your wisdom in this place in Jesus' name. Let me say I'm wise. Once again, in the wisdom of God. Are you ready for the word of God? Hallelujah. Be seated where you are. Amen. Okay. How are you all doing? Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday. Thank you. I wish you long life and prosperity. Hallelujah. You know, I was going to write something online yesterday. If you guys planned to make me emotional, you have to stop. You succeeded. Amen? So, you've won. Praise God. Thank you very much. Okay, fine. Let's get straight to the word. Amen. And by the way, my mom is in church. Amen. Thank you, man. Welcome, all. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my mom. Amen. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Okay, very well. Now, we're talking about the wisdom of God. We're teaching on wiser. And we've been trying to show that it is possible to walk in the wisdom of God. I've tried to explain to us time without number that there is a difference between the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. Okay? You can walk in man's wisdom and you can walk in God's wisdom. And what we are trying to show is what we, you know, one of the things we've said over time in this series is that wisdom is better than strength. You must have heard that a couple of times. Wisdom is better than strength. You see, what you would, it would have taken you 5 years to achieve with your strength, wisdom will give you in 1 year. Praise God. Will you walk in wisdom? Let me say this to you. I've said this before. It is not strength that wins battles. It is wisdom. It is strategy that gets you to win battles. You know, if you've read the Bible a couple of times, if there are 10,000 soldiers fighting against 1 million guys, and the 1 million guys don't have any strategy, they're going to lose today, tomorrow, and forever. It is not strength that wins your battle. It is walking in wisdom. Look at Ecclesiastes 9 verse 16. He said, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. It's better. Always. When you walk in the wisdom of God, you are going to achieve much more than you would have on a very good day. And so friends, we are looking at the wisdom of God. And once I said the first day, that there is a difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. Okay, you remember that? Now, man's wisdom, and not just that there's a difference, they are opposite each other. They are opposite each other. The wisdom of God, wisdom of man, you know, when you ask in the wisdom of God, and someone else is acting in the wisdom of man, they will always think you're foolish. I've seen that so far in this series, amen? For instance, we're talking about prayer, for instance, the first day. There is a situation at hand. Everybody is running helter-skelter, and then you kneel down and you're praying. It doesn't make sense to anybody. When the natural man was, okay, what's the point? Let's get out there. You have heard people say things like, this is not a prayer matter. That's man's wisdom speaking. I think you get the point. This is not a prayer matter. Ah, leave prayer. Let's face reality. What is this reality? When people talk like that, they think that being wise, that guy has sense. No, sometimes they're foolish. I'm not saying you should relax and wouldn't do anything. But I tell you, prayer should precede any action you take. Prayer should be in the action you are taking, and prayer must succeed the action you are taking. It's even in prayer that you can act right. So that is the wisdom of God. That's why we close the first day by telling you that every day you should always pray and say, Father, I want to walk in your wisdom. Where did we get that from? James 1 verse 5. Is any of you lacking wisdom? Let him ask of God. So if you want wisdom for any situation, what should you do? Ask God. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes when you are at crossroads, it's not time to panic. It's not time to make crazy decisions. It's time to ask and say, Father, what should I do? How do I go about this now? Learn to ask for wisdom. And no man has ever asked for wisdom and God denied him. And you notice Solomon asked for wisdom and the guy became very rich. Why? Because it is wisdom that gives even sense to have money. Now, last week we were looking at the wisdom of God for finances. Remember that? That is a way a believer relates with money. That is a way a believer must not relate with money. You can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. But the Bible tells us clearly that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Like, when you think God is acting foolishly. And we saw some of the foolishness of God that day. You find out these guys were going for a battle, Gideon and the rest, and God told them, go with only 300 men. Who does that? 300 men. I'm right there. Of course, in a man's words, you find his wisdom. Amen? So in checking the word of God, you are reading not just what was written by men. You are reading the wisdom of God put down there. So I said what I said the first day. Even if what is in the word of God doesn't make sense, just follow it. Then I said something last Sunday. You must come to a point where you learn to start believing the word of God for what it says. And without reason. You know, sometimes I was saying last Sunday, if the Bible said, thou shalt not lie, you know, and then, what else? If the Bible say you wake up every morning, you should jump up 10 times. Let me use that as an example. Every morning, wake up, jump up 10 times. Don't wait till we begin to tell you 10 benefits of jumping up 10 times. Number one, if you jump up 10 times, you will do exercise. If you jump up 10 times, learn to do some things just because the Bible said it. I get the point. Just because, okay, is it in the Bible? Fine. When you explain the Bible in context, and then it says this, learn to do it just because the Bible said it. It's enough. Amen? With or without reason, it is enough. And of course, I tell you what, that's a manifestation of trust. You know, when you trust someone, and he says something, sometimes you don't even understand what he's saying, but you do it. Praise God. Yeah. You know, I was hearing a story. A man of God was sharing a story. He said, one day, he wanted to know how much his wife trusted him. I believed him. You know, he said he came back to the house, and as he was coming in, there was you know bees. Do you know it? Whatever you say. Now he was just in front of the house, and he managed to run inside. You know, if bees have ever encountered you, or if you encountered bees, you know that the Lord is good when He keeps you from it. And so he managed to run in, and then the wife was not back yet. So he was at the window, waiting for when the wife will come back, looking so that she wouldn't pass through there. But when the woman came back, so he just listened. And I told her, see, take the back door. The woman said, why? He said, nothing. I just wanted to take the back door. Praise God. And she said, oh, yes, sir. I took the back door. You know, that's a manifestation of trust. Why should I take the back door where I can see the front door? Get the point? And that's how you should trust God. When He says whatever, even if it doesn't make sense to you, what is the point stressing myself to go through the back door? Whereas the front door is right before me, I could just walk in. But to show that you trust God, you say, okay, fine. I don't know why I said I should take the back door. I don't like back doors. But I'm going to do it all the same. Once again, say with me, I trust God. I believe His wisdom. When He says something, I will do it. It doesn't have to make sense. So today I'll tell a little about the wisdom of God for your human relationships. Okay? There is something God has said about interacting and relating with men. James chapter 3 verse 13. James 3 verse 13. Let's start with that. Are you ready for God's word? So, James 3 verse 13. This service will so bless you. He said, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Okay? But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now, see the next verse. This wisdom descended not from above. Okay? But is earthly, sensual, and devilish. What does he call this wisdom? What is wisdom he said does not come from above? See the previous verse. Let's see. If you have bitter envy, strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Now, next verse. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly. So what does he call earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom? Strife. Did you observe that? Envy. Start from 14 again. Put up another translation. We're going to see it clearly. Another translation. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Next verse. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Praise God. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So, what is simply put, what is the wisdom of God for your relationship? You have seen it already. Let's see the next verse. Let's see the next verse. Verse 16. Go back to King James. Notice what it says. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality. What is he describing here? He's describing love. I get the point. That's why I told you, these things you're going to hear in this series are not going to sound very well. When people hear wisdom, people think that wisdom must sound deep. Get the point? God's wisdom is simple. Very, very simple. It mustn't sound deep. You know, when people hear this, they say, that guy is wise. It's how our people say. That when you climb the tree and come down, praise God. And people say, And you know, whatever you don't understand, just you know, there is this thing about mystery that people like. And that is mysterious, people like it. Praise God. Well, I might touch that today. That's why it's good somehow that you don't live your life on social media. Once people can fully tell you, they don't have respect for you again. Once people cannot tell who you really are and what you really have, they respect because they don't understand you. Do you get the point? Once people can't tell how many children you have, they don't know how much money you have. They think you have money. They think you don't have money. They don't really know what it is. They'll just relate with you somehow because I don't know. Praise God. Now, he says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated, full of mercy. Put up NLT of this verse. Or from verse 15. From verse 15. It says, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. The Bible says jealousy is demonic. Praise God. When you are walking in love, you are walking in God's wisdom. When you are not walking in love, you are walking in the wisdom of man. The Bible calls it demonic. Look at next verse. And I'll tell you, what does it mean demonic? It doesn't mean you are possessed when you are not walking in love. It means you've come under the influence of demons. What that means is that Satan is trying to oppress you by making you jealous. Look at the next verse. For wherever there is jealousy, selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Evil of every kind. Okay, let's continue. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism. It's always sincere. Let's see the next verse. That's the last one. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap harvests of righteousness. So when you're walking in love, you're seeking peace, you're being wise. That's why, by the time I start this, you find out that sometimes you walk in love, the world will think you are stupid. You know, sometimes love is not the way for the world. Someone hits you, the natural human wisdom is hit him back. If you don't hit him back, he will take you for granted. Praise God. He said, you don't do that with me. I don't take nonsense. If you do me, I'm going to. All of us have hand. If you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. And that's man's wisdom right there. That's how man thinks. God teaches you must walk in wisdom and walk in love. So when you're walking in love, you are walking in God's wisdom. And I can tell you for free, love is how we showcase the new birth. How many of you know you are born again? Now, one of the ways Of course, how do you know you're born again? You believed in Jesus. One of the ways to showcase that new birth, to show that new birth to people, 1 John 3 verse 14. It's not just one of the ways, it is the major way. 1 John 3 14. Praise God. Now look at the screen. It says, we know that we have passed from death to life. We know. He said, how do we know? Because we love the brethren. And so one proof that you've passed from death to life is shown in how you walk in love towards your neighbor. I follow him at all. Now, does it mean that if you are jealous or you don't walk in love, you're no longer born again? No. What it rather means is that when you are walking out of love, you are not walking as you are. Now, you're not showing the world. How the world sees that Jesus lives in your heart is when you love them. Are you following me at all? Love is how we showcase the new birth. And the beautiful thing, like I said on Thursday, is that this love is already in us. How many of you know you have love in you? The day you became born again, that's why one of the things you must have learned about God by now is there is nothing God has ever asked anybody to do that He has not empowered that person to do. The day God said you should walk in love, He put love right there in your heart. 1 John 2 verse 8. The day He said you should walk in love, He put love right there in your heart. He calls love a new commandment. He calls love a new commandment that has been given to us. 1 John 2 verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. What is that commandment? Of course, if you read the whole of 1 John, it is love. Now, look at what it says. I write unto you which thing is true in Him and in you. So He said that commandment is true in Him. That commandment is true in you. Put up amplified. You see, He says, yes, I'm writing you a new commandment, which is true. It is realized in Him and in you. So love has been realized in you. Say, love lives here. Once again. Once again. The day you became born again, the love of God came into you. He said, that love is realized in Him and in you. And so, how do you show the world that you are born again? By loving them. And so when you're walking in love as a believer, you are not just walking in wisdom, you are living out your reality. Romans 5 verse 5, hope making not ashamed. He said, but the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And I tell you guys, when you read the Bible, think of the tenses. That's why when people pray and say, when I see believers, maybe you're praying, Father, give me love. No, this is a very useless prayer to pray. The day you became born again, love came into you. Are you telling me? You're a man of love. Say me, I'm a man of love. I'm of love. Full of love. There is no space for hatred here. No space for bitterness. No space for envy. Love lives here. That's how you must see yourself. And so when you are walking in love, you are walking in the reality of who God has made you. And I tell you what, towards your family, and I tell you, if you follow the wisdom of God, things are going to work easier than you think. The amazing thing is that we think that when we walk in the wisdom of God, things will go haywire. If I am, have somebody ever told you that when you are married, you shouldn't show your husband that you love him too much, or you shouldn't show your wife that you love her too much? It's the guys that say this. Don't show her that you love her too much. If you show her that you love her too much, she may start misbehaving. Have you heard that before? And that sounds very wise. You say, yeah. You know, somebody told me one day, jokingly, that it's not good to marry one wife. Now look at the logic. That it's not good to marry one wife. But it's not also good to marry two. That you marry from three up. And he meant it. He said, when you marry one wife, she'll be giving you trouble. He said, when you marry two wives, they'll be fighting and putting you in trouble. He said, when you marry three, two will be fighting, you stay with one. All he was trying to tell me is that when you marry one, I am showing them love. But if you marry three of them will be struggling to love you, to win your favor, to get your attention. So, and that makes sense. You see, the love of, and when you do that, you just, at the end of the day, you tear your family apart. When you walk in love, the relationship you think cannot work, can work. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. That's one major thing I want to study this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he was describing love. King James calls it charity. We're going to study this with Amplified today. Amplified version. The love of God. Say, love lives in me. So whatever we are describing here lives in you already. You know God is love. So whatever we are describing here is the character of God. And that love lives in you. So whatever we are describing here is you. So as we're reading this, we're telling yourself, this is who I am. So when I'm telling you, you mustn't do this, I'm trying to say, this is who you are, so you must live like that. He said, love endures long and is patient and kind. First thing he says about love is that love is it endures long and it is patient. One of the characteristics of love is that love is patient with people. If you've not learned to be patient with people, you're not yet working in love. You must learn, you see, people are going to be, especially when you, if for instance, if you stand in the teaching office, you're teaching people, you're trying to raise people, you must learn to be patient. I keep saying this, the church is a hospital. Some are responding to treatment, others are not. And you must be patient with all. I didn't get the point. You must be patient with all. So love endures long and is patient. Is patient. And so there must be patience found in your walk with men. He said, I can't take that. I've taken too much. I've endured for too long. For how long am I going to be taking this nonsense? That's how bitterness talks. That's not the love of God. The love of God is patient towards people. You know, there are people that you've messed up today. And the reason you messed them up is because you were not just patient with them. Just waited a little more, they would have been fine. Some of the people that are in our church today are people that some pastors and some workers, some people say they can be fine. And we took them in. What did you do differently? Simple, patience. You get the point? You know, sometimes it can be frustrating. After you finish teaching the person for 6 months, 8 months, the person will now do one thing. And I'm wondering, am I really called of God? But there must be that patience. There is someone that is working very well with us now. You know, in one of our centers. And before he came around, he's a guy having feelings for his fellow guys. And so any pastor he tried to mention that, he said, homosexuality? Come for deliverance. Do that. And so when he came around, I knew already. It's typical, as you know. I'm a pastor, amen? Once you come out, I knew. So I was just watching him. I didn't want to say anything. He was just living at first, reserved, trying not to associate. Then gradually, one day he met me, said, see who I am. I said, well, I know. And we started working on it. The fact that he approached me to talk about it really means he wants to walk out of it. I didn't get the point. It means he knows this is not the norm. He said his friends have tried to meet him to tell him, sir, see, this is how you are. You know, this is how you are. That's why I never accept the lie of the devil. See, this is how some people are created that way. If that's what you believe, you better stop that nonsense. Created which way? God did not create any man to love any man. Don't talk like that. You can't be wiser than the wisdom of God. Jesus did not marry John. Neither did Peter marry James. I don't know where he said. You heard that Jesus was checking Thomas. Say Tom Tom. So I said, that's not how you are. But point is, it took some time. I said, how are you today? He said, I still feel that there are many ladies around me, yet I don't feel anything for them. I said, don't worry, you will. We stayed on the word of God, and these things are possible. You must learn to be patient with people. In wherever sphere you are, some of you, the reason you are having issues with your family people is because you refuse to be patient with them. You don't realize that this can happen and will happen with time. Patience with people will help you. You are praying for your husband to change. You are praying for your wife to change. You are praying for your family to be better. You see, you must learn to be patient. It's a sign that you walk in love. Be patient. It may not happen next month. I didn't get the point. But it will eventually happen. So what should you do? You should be patient. So first of all, he said love. He said it endures long. Okay? And is patient. Next thing he says love is kind. Kindness is a manifestation of the love of God. What does it mean to be kind? Huh? What does it mean to be kind? Huh? Talk. What does it mean? Is that how you write your exam? What does it mean to be kind? To be kind. You know, when you are kind to people, and these people, it's not just talking about believers, so everybody, be kind. You can be kind to people without accepting them out, without approving what they do. But then you are kind to them. Simple acts of kindness has never been outdated and will never be. The fact that you saw an elderly woman carrying basket and you helped her will never be outdated. I didn't get a point. It can never be. It doesn't matter how woke you are. It can never be. The fact that you know, something that we've seen over time, and some, I know some older people are using this as an advantage. They get a place, everybody is sitting, and they feel they have a right to ask you to stand up because they are older. You've seen that, right? They say, if I stand up for you, let me die. You know, I understand some of them are taking advantage of that. But you see, be like God. You know something about God is, you can't change God. No matter what you do, God is who He is. Your being bad, you know, the Bible said, even our unfaithfulness, He remains faithful because His character is faithfulness. Even if you misbehave, He's still like that. That's how you should be. A believer must not be moved by it. Some people are just doing whatever. You are doing it, standing up for the person, not because he deserves it. You get the point? But just because you just want to be kind. Kindness till tomorrow is a sign that you are being wise. It's a sign that you are walking in the love of God. And I tell you, begin to practice kindness again and again. Learn to be kind to people. And if you're doing that, you are being mature, you are being wise, you're walking in God's wisdom. So I'm kind. Say it again. So I'm kind to people. I'm kind-hearted. Notice the next thing he says. He says, he's never envious or boastful with jealousy. You see, envy, envy has never been God's kind of wisdom. And one of the things that prompts envy, I can tell you freely, is competition. You know the Bible says comparing themselves with themselves, they're not wise. You're trying to look at how far this person has gone, and you're being envious of the person. You are being jealous. And this can happen it can even happen in church. Why is she the only one doing this? Why is he the only one that always giving this? That is man's wisdom. You are being jealous. You must deal thoroughly with envy and jealousy in your heart. Get this right. All of us will not get to the same place at the same time. But if you don't allow envy to take over your heart, all of us will get to that place eventually. Do you get the point? Some people will move before you. Some will get married before you. Some will buy a car before you. Some will get money before you. You must train your heart to rejoice with those who rejoice. I didn't get the point. Settle it in your heart. Some people must get some things before you. Get your heart out of envy. Truth of the matter is that being envious will not put that money in your pocket. You don't have it, you don't have it. I don't get the point. And it turns into a bitter person. Into a bitter person. There are ministers that envy other people. And I see it all over the place. Like I keep saying, there are people that are not in this church. They've never been to this church. Some of them I've seen them only once in my life. But they know everything happening inside this church. Is that how people bought mic? So because they bought mic, I'm not telling you, I'm not forging things. When we got this TV screen, one of them heard it. And she told one of our people up. Say, it's not to be buying screen. And I'm wondering, how much is TV screen? I didn't get the point. How much is TV? He said, it's to be buying screen. Think it's all about buying screen. He said, I was bringing this one. He said, forget that thing. That's not impact, too. It's about the lives of men who asked you. and envy can take you to that level. So when they showed me the chart, I've learned a lot from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, he will just tell you, once you just say, don't make no fuss about that. And that's him. Forget it. And you must learn, people will be envious of you. You should choose not to be envious of people. When people make progress, celebrate their progress. Be happy for them. You don't know, because the frustration in the country called Nigeria is enough to make you envious and jealous. Everybody, Nigeria is a bitter country so far. Don't fall for the bitterness. Say, is it about posting his wife and his kids on Facebook? Who knows how they're living at home? Is that what they asked you? Celebrate the picture. Get that stuff off your mind. Some must marry before you, and I tell you the truth. Get the point? Some will have kids before you. Some will get money before you. Get envy out of your mind. If you want something, ask God. God doesn't take from men to give to other men. He has enough. I don't get the point. So deal with envy. The Bible says,
wherever there is envy and strife, you see, there is every evil work. You see, I tell you guys, when you are practicing envy and jealousy, you've entered the school of witchcraft. There's no other way to be a witch. Praise God. There's no other way. That's the easiest way to be a witch. There's no other way. Is it about traveling abroad? What is even then traveling abroad? And see what envy does. You see how I'm talking? Envy has a way of making you talk yourself out of what you even want sincerely. Somebody travels abroad. He says, is that about traveling abroad? If I wanted to go, I would have gone. You will never go. Because your life will just follow what you are saying. The direction of your words. You get the point? It's not like if I wanted to what's then going abroad? If I wanted to go, I would have. It's just that me, I don't like it. Yet in your heart, you're saying, Lord, even if it is Congo. And then you are saying, it must come to settle in your heart. I do not walk in envy. There is no room for envy here. There's no room for jealousy here. So we progress before me. I am happy for them. I'm okay. You know, I've taught you guys, everybody have different paths in life. Even if we're in the same path, people in ministry, I normally say, people's ordination differ. Someone like me, I was called to start from the very scratch. Some other people are going to start and build on other people's success. Now, it doesn't mean that because they've started, they are making more progress, it doesn't mean they're making more progress than me. Do you get the point? I gave you guys an example. Evangelist Daniel Colender, powerful man of God, took over from Real Bunky, you know, right? Now, because of that platform, how he started, at 26, the guy has led over how many million people to Christ? Because of the nature of his ordination. I didn't get the point. It doesn't mean that because someone has started from the scratch with three people or four people that they are better than you. I didn't get the point. Appreciate what God is doing through you. Be content and ask for more. Envy will never take you far. You are talking yourself out of whatever God wants for you. But you say, is it about having crowd in church? And that's how, you know, those days when people are for me, they had sense. What sense? Say, it's not about crowd. It's not about crowd. And yet you do publicity. It's about crowd. Jealousy is what is what's fun. Because you have only. Because you guys are eight. You say it's not about crowd. Whether it's not about crowd. You think it's about having crowd. What is it about? Jesus held heavyweight crusades. One of his crusades, I would say, he fed 5,000 men only. Only men. Think of women. So if Jesus was to call a men's conference, 5,000 will show up. Amen? First gospel ever preached after resurrection by the apostles, 3,000 guys got saved. What are you talking about? It's about crowd. And don't talk yourself out of the flow because you don't have it yet. I don't get the point. Don't talk yourself out of the flow because you don't have it yet. Believe when you see God is blessing someone, oh, thank you, God, thank God. And then when you become envious, another thing that can cause, make you become, is very competitive. And you must deal with that. And before you know, you are trying to do things, that one sound of competition, you are trying to do things because another person has done it. He said, what did he do? Oh, he got married. I should start planning my wedding this year. Let me not carry last. You will not marry one evil spirit and bring it to your house. Just because you want to catch up, envy will make you competitive. You see, this is not just a true saying. This is the wisdom of God. Nobody came out to this world with you. You don't have any competition. You don't have any. Just live your life. You don't have any competition. And I say it again, you don't. You see, learn not to be motivated by competition. Ah, this guy is doing, let me do this. Be internally driven. You get the point? Just be self-motivated. You want to make progress. Make progress. I tell you guys jokingly. A guy breaks your heart. And then, you say, don't worry. I will blow. And you will see. Stop that nonsense. You are going to blow. He will blow too. Say, don't worry, in the future, you see me in my Range Rover. You see? Amen. You see me in his Prado. You see what envy does to you. By envy, you now want to blow. so that he will not. So that when he meets you, he will be carrying an umbrella, he'll be driving your car. Don't be like that. Wish everybody well. Amen. If someone has hurt you, someone broke your heart, fine. Cry, forgive the person, move on. No competition here. I'm not going to start hustling because I want to show you that I'm something. I'm not going to get more serious just because I want to prove to you that I'm something. When I started ministry, some of you know the story. I don't think any minister around me was fought. Why I was, some of you know. Sometimes I used to tell my people, some of them are here. At the time I told them, I said, see, if you need to start being careful, when you get security, first of all, they beat you or they shoot you. The strife was high. The fight was high. Some of them know what I'm talking about. It's worse than you can ever think. They call meetings, they go to big stages, and they mention, Pastor Henry Onyedekachi. Nobody should listen to, I'm telling you. Demonic. That somebody even said he knows where I'm going to go and get the charm I'm using. And I wanted to tell him, show me. Because I don't know. But one thing I never did was, because of this thing, I must blow. I must make it in this ministry to show you people. You're already acting in the flesh. I didn't get the point. Don't ever do that. They say, you know, results is the answer to insults. That is true. But don't try to get the result just because you want to silence insults. Just do your work. Get the point? Do your work. Because before you know, the danger of acting that way is you're going to walk out of the will of God. Before you know, you are putting up crusades so that you can pack down stadium. Not because the Lord asked you to do it. Are you getting the point? Deal with envy. Deal with that. So go back to that First Corinthians 13. So it talks about not envious and jealous and all that. The next thing he talks about, I want to talk about very seriously. He said, go back, okay. Love never is envious nor boasts over jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Boasting. What does it mean to boast? To speak about what you have. If I let me take this opportunity to, I'm promising I will talk about this. Let me talk about this now. You see, a wise man doesn't say so much about what he has. It's called boasting. And it is a sign of foolishness. I've taught you guys a lot. I've mentioned it a lot. You must learn to be discreet. The whole world must not know your life. Okay? They mustn't know your life. Make sure you are not, Bible calls it vainglory. Make sure you are not out there to show. Remember, I saw something last week. You know, somebody that lives a pretentious and a showy life, it's not a sign of wisdom. You want to show everybody. You see, there is wisdom in discretion. And I tell you for free, discretion will save you a lot of battles. There are many things that the world know about you that they shouldn't have known. I start learning it from today. The world mustn't know everything about you. As what causes some of those things is because you are boasting. You want to show them. You are either boasting with your words or with your action. You are posting on Facebook. You are doing this and that. You are trying to show people, see, I'm doing well. I've arrived. I'm a big man. I'm this. I'm that. Deal with boasting. It's not a sign that you're walking in love. And you know one thing boasting does? You know, love is about the other person. You know, right? When you begin to boast, you are putting some people under pressure. You get the point? You are putting some people under pressure. If I walk up here now, and I begin to talk, and I tell you guys, I'm not saying these things are wrong. Your motive will tell us. Amen? God sees your heart. But I begin to tell you guys, you know, I did this, I did that. Before you know, you are already making people feel they have not started. And be very careful you don't create that kind of emotion in people. I learned something from Evangelist Ralph Bonnke. He said that, he was saying that before he got the call into ministry, he never saw any vision or had any encounter. He said even if he has had since then, that he chooses not to share it. You know, have you ever gone to meetings where the man of God finished talking about himself? You yourself know you are not called. Do you get what I'm saying? He said, I was just, you see, before they gave birth to me, God told my mom. You get the point? 7 prophets told my mom. So from, they gave birth to me, 1 month I was talking. Now, I'm not saying you are lying. Okay? But you know that could put people under pressure. Somebody will not say, Kai, no wonder God is using him. You see what you've done? You've tried to prove to them that God cannot use them to that level he's using you. Because no prophet spoke to their mother. I get what I'm saying? Every form of boasting must be dealt with. Don't say much about your money. Don't say much about your achievements. Say less. Discretion is a sign of wisdom. Loose talking is a sign of foolishness.
Praise God.
Don't say so much about your achievements. Don't say so much about what I've done, what I've gotten. Don't say so much. And don't even show so much. You know, I told you last Sunday, it's always wisdom to live for people to perceive you lower than you really are.
Do you know what I said?
It's always wisdom for people to look at you and say, ah, that one is nothing. No, you're just living a very simple life. You see, if you've been close to me for long, I'm simplicity and I'm for it tomorrow. Learn to be. You mustn't let every the world know. Do you know who I am? Have all the money. Keep it simple.
Amen.
Have all the money. Keep it simple. Look at
look at this. Proverbs 30 verse 7.
Message said, a pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life.
Praise God.
When you're out there to show, it's empty. That's emptiness. And you mustn't do that. So you don't boast. You don't boast about what you've achieved. Paul will say, if any of us will boast, let us boast in the Lord. Make sure you're talking about what God has done. Let it not be about you, what you've achieved, where you've gotten to. No. Calm down.
Praise God. And when you boast, what you don't realize about boasting, you see this life, you can never be the biggest. Somebody must overtake you. Settle that in your head. And there are people you have money more than now that will be richer than you tomorrow. Do you know?
Settle it in your head simply. So that you don't get troubled when it starts. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with you. That's just life. It doesn't mean you go down. You might be where you are. They will come and pass you. Don't boast. You know, one of the things I've learned is never to use your money or your achievement to create enemies for yourself. When we were in school, I was JCB president. And one thing I noticed about that particular office, you know, all those offices that come in school fellowships come with pride. I don't know if you know. Say, Papa. I just walk in. You don't greet me again now. I've seen Papa talk like that. So you saw me pass, you didn't come to greet me. He touched your gun. You know. And I observed that particular JCB office, one thing it does is that it brings you in contact with big, big people. Yeah, that position alone. And many have used that thing to shut their future doors. You don't realize, I learned early that JCB office is 1 year. And after 1 year, you are just like every other person. So people use that to create enemies for themselves. Become JCB president, your friends can no longer call you. Don't worry. He said, what is it? He said, don't know who you're talking to. You're talking to Papa. Bishop. It's not that I became Bishop. Bishop! You know, one of the things, you know, sometimes I got a lot of calls from some prominent guys in Nugu and other places. One thing I noticed is whenever they call, I start to just be president of Jesus. Most times they say, sir, say, so where can we meet you? I say, where can you meet me? Where can I meet you? I'm coming to me. You can't come and meet me. You get the point? An elder in the faith that has been there for how long, just because I've been president, wants to come and meet me. No. I'll come and meet you. What am I again? And if you're in the school fellowship and you're a leader there, better listen to me very well. That office will pass. And that itself is rehearsal for ministry. When you come out, you come and mix sand. See this life? You mix sand for me. You want to ministry? You come out. You know, that it comes with pride. That happened to me. Young boy, Papa. And then, you bet I was anointed. Amen? Yeah, there was nothing. I did what no man can do in the school. I used the biggest auditorium in the school to host meetings. I did all of that. One thing that can make you is to become proud and begin to talk about it. Be very wise. Amen? Boasting has never been wisdom. Discretion will help you to say what must be said and to say what should not be said. To keep quiet. Say, you know, Paul will say, he said he knows a man from God. Whether in you know that vision? So whether in the world, in this realm or in the other realm, he said he doesn't know. He said he saw some things in the spirit that he cannot see. You know, when you learn wisdom, it's not everything that happens to you that you say. It's not even every experience that you share. It's not even every vision that you talk about. There are things the Lord will ask you to do. Out of boasting, you're already talking about what you've not done. Let me tell you, there are processes. I don't know, this is not for today. There are stages in how to accomplish a vision. There is a stage in vision accomplishment where you don't talk about it yet to everybody. I get what I'm saying. The Lord told you that you're building a factory, and you come out the next day talking about it. You are being foolish. Don't you observe after you talk about it, 1 week later, the whole fire for the thing dies down. Because the first thing to do when you get a vision in your heart is not to talk about it, is to pray. In much prayer, you are growing that conviction in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then you discuss it with one or two people that really matter. Even Africans will tell you that when you get pregnant, you don't tell everybody you're pregnant yet. We learned that in Africa, but sometimes it's only your husband for the meantime. Sometimes tell your husband, maybe tell your pastor. Why do you tell your pastor? Simple. That's not when there's complication, you can call it. It's not when there's complication. Let's say, sir, the baby is a rich baby. But you keep it. Those things is not foolishness. You are being wise. You don't say everything. So God lays a vision in your heart. You are all over the place. Who will do it? Who will do it? After you say, I told you guys, I know somebody that said he wanted to write a book many years ago. I know the name of the book. I know the chapters of the book. The book has not come out now. He said too much. He said, when does my book come out? That. Sometimes when you're saying those things, after you say them, that's all there is to it. You don't even have the fervor, the passion to go after them again. Before you hear me talk about something to the world, Platform of Grace, God has put this vision in my heart for years. If I told it to the first person, it was in my heart for so long that some are even here, started seeing those visions and sharing them with me. Praise God. I didn't tell anybody. Because the kind of battles that came when we started, if I had not spent time in prayers to even build my own conviction first, we would have stopped. I didn't get the point. We would have stopped. That's why you start something. Challenges come. You start asking yourself, am I sure that I hide from God? You didn't build your conviction because of prayer. You see, so you don't say so much so early. And even when much is happening for you, you know, I've talked about this guy too much, but this is okay. You know Hush Puppy, right? Huh? Now, live the careless life was a fraudster. Glory to God, was arrested. Amen? But you see, part of what prompted that arrest was saying too much. I don't know if you know. That's how the investigation even started. And that's one thing with the wisdom of the world. Once you compromise and do fraud to get money, the first thing that comes to mind is to show it off. That's how man's wisdom acts. Do you get the point? When people hustle, go through the process, and become very wealthy, they don't show the whole world. They don't throw it around. They don't. So he was showing everybody. And this world is not helping issues. People all over his Instagram, whatever, hailing him. Say, that's you right there. I heard he has been sentenced to 20 years in the United States. And I heard that about 6 other nations are waiting for him. That when he comes out, he'll come and serve their own jail term. And it becomes the consequence, apart from the consequence of fraud, what we were talking about last week, you know, compromising to get money, it becomes also the consequence of being too outgoing. I don't get the point. Learn to say less than what you even have. And once you become boastful, you know what follows? You must be lying and pretending to keep up with it. Praise God. You must be pretending to keep up with it. Our church, we are 3,000. The man of God met me. He said, the church we are building, 5,000 seaters. I said, wow, I'm happy for you. I've trained my heart to. I'm happy for you. Thank you, sir. The day I went there to the building, I was with my friends. I didn't say anything. It was one of my friends. He's an architect. He told me, this is not 5,000. I said, we'll not shut up. The owner of the church told me it's 5,000 seaters. you want to keep up, so you must, before you know, lies begin to come in. Pretense begins to come in. Hallelujah. Learn to say less. So that, you know, it's always one sign that you're walking in the grace of God and God's wisdom is that when people meet you, they are amazed. I didn't know you are like this. I didn't get the point. I didn't know you are like this. Wow. have all this, you are this, you're not even showing it. Praise God. That's wisdom. You know, somebody met me recently and was shouting. He said, do you know it's after we met? Because we met like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. We just met, we talked normally. I was helping, I finished, I went. He saw me recently, he said, it's after you left that people started telling me who you were. He said, so you are Jesus. He was shouting. I said, who am I again? Learn to be like that. Amen? Because actually we are not, you know. Praise God. A boastful life is in God's wisdom. Discretion will save you a lot of battles. Saying less will save a lot of battles. You notice it played out, for instance, this discretion I'm talking about, in the birth of Jesus. You don't say everything. When Mary and Joseph are pregnant, they had the baby. First of all, we see Joseph. Let me leave that part. They had the baby. Notice what the angel told the shepherd. He said, don't go back. Don't go back and tell Herod that stuff. I don't get the point. That is not everything you say. So the problem we are in today, it is the things you said many years ago that's put you there. Save yourself some battles. Amen? So go back to 1 Corinthians 13. So it tells you, it is not boastful or vainglorious. It's a sign that you're walking in love. Next thing it talks about is not proud. Pride. And sometimes when I talk about pride, it doesn't display itself haughtily. When I talk about pride, I don't even know why you should be proud. Amen? What is pride? Of course, first, pride is, let me give you a simple definition. You see, anything that makes you feel you are better than another person is pride. It's as simple as that. That thing that makes you feel you are better, that rates yourself higher than every other person is pride. As a pastor, by my office, okay, you should submit to me. But I know in reality, apart from the office and the grace of God, we are the same thing. I don't get the point. And you must not rate yourself. It doesn't make you carry yourself. Why should you talk to me like that? Does he know who I am? Sometimes I wonder, who are you again? Learn, you see, it is God's wisdom to always be humble. I'm saying a lot this morning. To always be humble. To always be calm. Calm down. No place for displaying yourself proudly. You don't realize that where God is taking you to, you've not started. How many of you know that? It's too early to be proud. You never see something. Get the point? We are still going places, you know, right? We are still going places. You see, money, we'll still have more. Achievement, we'll still have more. It's too early. When you want to be proud, when you want to die, around that your death period, you can't be proud now. Because sometimes when you are being proud, you are saying you've arrived. I didn't get the point. You know, that's why, no matter whatever we did in this church, I'm laughing because it's not even anything yet close to the visions that God has shown me. So what's there to be proud about? Hallelujah. Pride, first of all, is a thing of the heart. Then it begins to manifest in action. It's manifest in action. You don't let the Bible tell us God exalts the humble. Praise God. You know, Jesus was giving an illustration. He said somebody goes to a feast. And then nobody invited you to the high table. You go straight to the high table and sit down. When it is time, they'll say, anyway. Those seats are reserved. Learn to be very simple, humble. Show that you are wise by your humility. Glory to God. Some men of God are so anointed, they can't wash toilet in church. So much anointing that they can't wash toilet. That's a sign of foolishness. You are so anointed, you can't clean the seat. Or you have somebody, I see some people, they come to church. Because you are whatever way you are, you can carry yourself. You want us to notice you? Not yet. Now, I've told you guys this story many times. How Reverend Dr. Mokwai said he went to a meeting. And the guys that protocoled him in the meeting, he didn't know they were there serving him, carrying his Bible, driving him, opening the door. He said, after the whole thing, towards the end of the program, I was just asking them, how is everything? What do you do? I want to pray for you guys. What do you do? The other one said, I'm a general. Generals in the army. Some of them, I'm a general. The other one, these are soldiers. Top-ranking military men, they were serving him like nothing. You don't come to church to come and show us who you are. I don't get the point. When you're walking into the church, I keep saying, drop your doctor title or engineer title at the door and come in. Amen. You must learn the wisdom of God in being very humble. such that people can come into this place and, you know, let me not say much, not to reveal so much. I was in a meeting. I won't tell you the meeting. I don't reveal so much. I was in a meeting. There's this guy. He's a commissioner. Oh, he's a believer. He's not just a believer. I'm not talking about believer. He's a believer, committed worker in his church. And I was in a meeting. I've heard about him, but I didn't know him very well. So, but I when I came in, I noticed, of course, security men were all over the place. Well, I didn't bother. I went in. So this, we're just sitting with health program. After the program, the guy was carrying his child and they were just busy setting whatever, doing this, arranging. And I went to, it was after I went to, one of my friends snapped with him and posted, "Honorable Commissioner, it was so good seeing you." I say, "Who is Commissioner again?" I'm telling you. You know, it's because the son of Felicia, they make you ordinary special advisor. You will not hear what again. You wonder when you come to church, pastor should give you front seat. Yeah. Do not calm down. You don't realize that the people, did you see the people that Paul will write to? Remember Erastus? He said, greet Erastus. He calls him the chamberlain of the city. That's the accountant general of the state. Was one of the guys that was working with Paul in ministry. Okay, but there are some things you don't, there are some things you must learn. You are rich, you are a professor, you are whatever. Calm down and be humble and serve. Whatever the calls for, serve. Serve. When it's time to stand in your office, stand tall in your office. You get the point? When it's time to stand as the MD, stand tall as the MD. When it's time to interact with men, be humble with them. I don't get the point. Be humble. It makes shows that you are wise. A lot to say already. So it says, doesn't display itself fourthly. Next verse. Doesn't display itself fourthly. Let's just round this up. Just next verse. It is not conceited, arrogant, and better with pride. I've mentioned that. And I said, it is not rude and unmannerly. Okay, I won't say much about that. But you know, being rude, and especially sometimes for the ladies, being rude doesn't show that you're a big girl. That's how the world sees it. The world sees it, if a big girl is your dad, hold it there. It's a sign of rudeness. Don't be rude. You see, greeting has not expired. Don't copy white people. We are not white people. A white person can see his grandmother and say hi. We are not like that. Here we say, good morning, sir. Did you get what I said? And it can never be outdated. Did you get the point? Don't be rude. Don't be rude. Sometimes, both, you know, there is rudeness in speech. There is an attitude that is very rude. We are talking to you, you are rolling your eyes. You just say, I'm fine. Don't be like that. I won't say much. Don't be rude. He said, unmannerly. That is a way to act. It's just a walking in love. Notice that everything I'm saying today is towards another person. There's a way to act towards people. You don't be rude to people. That's what love is all about. Next thing he says, they're not rude. Okay, unmannerly. He does not act unbecomingly. Hallelujah. Read the next phrase. The next one. Love. God's love. You know, so where is this love? Where is the love? In us, right? So everything I'm talking about is what is working in you. He said, it does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it's not self-seeking. So it's not selfish. Praise God. It doesn't always seek its own way. That's the character of love. It doesn't always want to do things its own way. It doesn't. You know, we're going to pay for something. You see, and we made the call. I told some of our pastors, we made the call, wanted to pay for something. And then the guy told me, oh, well, that you want to pay for, someone has made deposits. And it's something we really wanted. Just like you wanted to buy this phone. Okay? And this phone maybe is 100,000. And then you get to the phone, we've looked for the phone all over, we've looked for the thing. We now saw it. Somebody has made deposits of 40,000. But, if you have the complete money, praise God, you can just bring it and we'll sell it to you, then return the purchase money to him. Somebody will say, what's wrong with that one? Is it me that did him? You are being selfish. Do you get the point? God will always give you something better. That's how I saw it. I said, no, I won't do that. I won't like give, and then imagine you want to pay for house rent. House rent is 400,000, you've paid 200,000 or 250,000. Say, don't worry, I'm called tomorrow and pay. And now arrive tomorrow, they give you your money. Did somebody do that to us? Yes. Some of you remember Abani, the first hall we got as a ministry. We are using it as a ministry. Of course, we are paying very small. We pleaded with them, please. We just want to start. We don't have money. And they were collecting very cheap stuff from us. Amen. We finished church service on Sunday. Then we're supposed to have, okay, there was this meeting they had inside school. So they told us they wanted to carry our church seats for the meeting. I said, fine. So they arrived on Monday and called me. I said, ah, that all the seats and whatever are outside. I said, ah. So I put a call through to the landlady. And I said, ah, they said our stuff's outside. This was the early days. We're not going to 1 month then. Okay, 2 months. Say, our things are outside. They say, yes. Sorry, I didn't tell you. We are renovating the place. I said, wow. Okay, fine. It's good because the place needs renovation, actually. So, hope you finish soon so that we can move back. He said, well, actually, what I forgot to tell you is that another ministry has come. They like this place. So, they've already paid and they even paid for the renovation. So, the ministry made them an offer that they were going to pay, not just pay, but pay more for the renovation of the building so that they can now push us out. That was the first frustration I faced in ministry. Man, I didn't know what to do. So we're out of venue. I was like, how can you do that? He said, whatever changes money from your money, come out, we'll calculate that, we'll give you back. That's selfishness. And I don't want to say God paid them back. Because before the end of that week, the whole building collapsed. You remember now? The whole building collapsed. Both the one they were renovating, the one that planted, everything came down. All of us relaxed. It's fine. But no, I didn't pray bad prayer, okay? No. But you know, there's this devil in every man. When I saw it, I was like, that's something. I was tempted to say, fine, nonsense. It's me. playing with grace. Oh God. you don't do that. Learn, you see, you must rate. My dad told me something. I've said it over and over again in this church. He said, if you want to have joy, he told me joy is an acronym for Jesus, others, yourself. He said, consider God, treat others first, then you come into the picture. And that has kept remained in my head. Place people before you. I don't get the point. Let people be satisfied. Don't be selfish. Everything is not about you. Let me tell you. You know, talking about depression on Saturday, on Friday. One way to cure depression is if you are depressed there, start doing things for people. Sometimes the happiness you need in your life is not your own happiness. It's people's happiness. However, do something for someone and the person is very excited and then you are more happy than the person. I don't get the point. Person is excited. Thank you. Sometimes the joy. One of the things that keeps me going in ministry is when I see people say, so you changed me. I'm more excited than them. I'm excited. The Bible said the disciples, when they went to preach the gospel, they came back. They were joyful. They were not the ones that God saved, though. They were not the ones that got healed. It was the healing of others that excited them. Deal with selfishness. So my man of love. Once again, I'm not selfish. I am not selfish. Bible said it doesn't insist on its own way. And that's the kind of love God is. A man that would give himself. He died for people that did not even care about him. That's selflessness. That's the kind of love that we have in Christ. And when you're walking in that kind of love, you're walking in wisdom. Let's round that up. He says, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Okay. Of course, I've talked about that. Touchy, fretful, resentful. Some people are so irritable. Easily pick offense. Easily, don't be that person. That's my temperament. Don't talk like that. I told you guys, in Christ, we don't do temperament. We do fruit of the Spirit. So that's my temperament. The way I am. Once you just annoy me, I pick offense immediately. Why are you like that? You don't know people who annoy you in this life. And if you're not married, you better begin to work on it. That's how men start beating their wives. Because in case you don't know, I tell you for free, if you're a man, women can step on your, can get on your nerves. A lot. a lot. And if I see very touch, touch one day, just fling the girl out of the window. They can. Children too can get on your nerves. They can. Before you know, you want to break something on their head. Don't be like that. Or before you know, you don't even beat them, but you've said some harsh words. I hope you know something about words. Is, you see, you might annoy me, we'll quarrel, and I apologize and we'll say we are fine. But the things you say to me can still remain in my heart. But because you are touchy and easily irritable, you say some very dangerous things to people. You say, get out, idiot, foolish. I learned something. When you are hot or you are angry, don't take any action. Don't even say anything. I'm talking about my dad today again. One day, my dad used to flog us very well. A man. When you combine a pastor, a soldier, and a teacher in one person, that's my dad. If what Biafra was, he thinking like a soldier. The man flog us. But there's something I saw, you know, every time he just tell you, can't kneel down. Before he flogs you, you can't do something I just get scared and stuff. He said, can't kneel down. You could kneel down there for like 30 minutes or 5 minutes, then he will come in with about 16 canes. Then he will ask you a question. What did you do? You talk. So what you did was wrong, Abby. And I said, so give me one reason why I should not flog you. Now, one day he said, do you know why I can never flog you and wound you? Like, there's never been a case of eye. He blocked my eye. He said, because when I ask you to go kneel down, I'm spending time to deal with the anger in my heart for what you did. So when I come, I'm not going to flog you because I'm angry. I didn't get the point. That's, you don't act like you're angry immediately. You bring in, I will kill you today. That's not, you see how you're Pekin is running all over the world. You should learn wisdom in not being touchy and easily irritable. You see how you've said things you shouldn't have said to you. You said things to anybody. It's because you allow things to get to you. It's a nonsense. I don't take that. Get out. You don't talk like that. Ordinary change, you are dragging with the conductor. You've rained every form of course on him. Ordinary change. How much? He's an idiot. I don't remember. See, we die here. I will show you. Hey, let me give my advice. Don't tell all those conductors we die here. They were dead before they came. So they will put you in there. Those people. Then notice what he says next. I'm coming to something I want to talk about. He said, it takes no account of the evil done to it. And this is about forgiveness and tolerance. Don't keep record of wrongs. And the Lord, yesterday the Lord said I should talk about this a lot. Don't keep record of wrongs. Learn to walk in forgiveness. Look at how NLT put it. He said it's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. And that's the kind of love we find in God. And that's why I'm going to challenge you this morning. Like I do when I teach on this. If someone has hurt you, it's time to forgive the person. Ephesians 4 verse 32. He said, be kind-hearted one to another. He said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So how do you forgive? You forgive as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So you must learn the art of forgiveness. Do you know why? People are going to hurt you. And it doesn't just say you should forgive. It says you should forgive and don't keep any record of the wrong. You should be able to forgive people and look at them like you've not done anything to me. Praise God. Yeah. Is that possible? Don't ever say it's not possible. The same love that is in God that makes him forgive us and forget, that same love is in you. So I can forgive and forget. You get the point? If someone has told you, it's time to, you know, I said something on Friday. One of the ways to move on, if somebody hurts you and you are down or you are depressed, is forgive the person. In forgiving that person, you are the person moving on, not the person. Praise God. Someone was hurt. I've told this story a couple of times. I think it was a case of molestation or something. When she was young, it was something. It's a very bad story. I don't like telling it. It's a very sad story. And she was talking to me about 15 years after. So she told me, I said, have you forgiven them? Say, sir, did you even hear the story I told you? It's not possible. So I asked the equation. I said, do you still remember their faces? She said, yes, very well. I even see them in my dream. I said, do you think, because those guys are just random guys that she met, I did something bad to her. They raped her and all that. There were two. I said, do you think they still remember your face or remember that they ever did anything to you? The possibility is they haven't forgotten that they ever did that thing. Then the offenders are living freely. You, that did not do anything, you are hurting. Seeing them in your dream. I said, you can never move on until you release these people from your heart. I didn't get the point. It's not because they... I told you guys, don't forgive people because they deserve forgiveness. Forgive them because the Bible says you should forgive them. True, there are people that don't deserve forgiveness. You know? Some don't. In reality. Because some even hurt you and are not even... They're not even sorry. Praise God. You know, I told you guys, somebody broke my head one day. That I told you guys, right? When I was in secondary school. Broke my hand. This guy, forget church. Oh. I knew I could beat him. And then so, you know, secondary school life now. I said, Henry, don't leave him. Oh, Jesus, see blood. And I swear, I saw 30 things I could do to him at the moment. So I didn't react. So after everything, I went up to him. I said, well, I know why I'm leaving you. Thank God for Jesus and all that. Guess what this boy said? He said, nonsense. You can't do anything. I said, Jesus Christ, God. And I told you guys, learn to be who you are. Let nobody change you. You get the point? If you're a forgiving person, be a forgiving person. And train your heart that it will not be dependent on how the person reacts. You know, that's how God forgives us. You see, the Bible put it in 1 John 2 verse 12. He forgives us for his name's sake. So God forgives us for himself. Not for you. He doesn't forgive you because you confess. For himself, he forgives you. To be fine. So you keep no record of wrong. Colossians 3 verse 13. We're going to read that with King James, with NLT and other translation. I'd like you to take this home. Don't forget it. He said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. The same way. Same other translation, NLT. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Okay? And forgive anyone who offends you. Why should you do that? Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So, when you think of God's forgiveness, forgive people. I say this every time when I teach on this. If there is somebody in your heart that is hurt, they're hurting against, it's time to release the person. Is it your father? Your mother, they didn't take care of you when you were growing up. They were not there for you. It's okay. Fine. It is now time to let them go. Forgive them and move on. Are you following me? Forgive them and move on. Don't keep it in your heart. You're not being wise. Man's wisdom is, you know, I was saying that last Sunday. A guy rapes you 32 years ago when he was a nobody. When he blows 32 years later, you come up on Facebook and put it up. As our man thinks. You don't realize that when a guy rapes you, what should you do? Get him arrested. Because I've said it a couple of times. Rape is a civil crime. Remember I've said that. Get him arrested. But after you do all of that, let's go. By the time you bring up that issue 32 years later, you are opening up the wound again. You get the point? Guess who will feel bad at the end of the day? It is you, not him. But the man's wisdom, they say, hey, that is it. That is it. No. Learn to forgive. Of course, forgiving them doesn't mean you keep them around you. Amen? If someone poisoned your father or your mother, and they die, forgive them, but don't eat their food again. Do you get the point? Forgive them means release them in your heart. Sincerely do. But don't eat that food again. Don't say, I forgive you. Say, if I forgive me, eat my food. No. I forgive you. I don't trust you. But I forgive you. You know, forgiveness and trust is not the same thing. I forgive, but I don't trust you still. A guy breaks your heart, a guy and does whatever. Forgive the person. It doesn't mean that if he comes back, you will accept him. Say, if I forgive him, accept me back. No, now. I'm forgiving you. I won't accept you back. I don't still trust you. Because sometimes when people tell me, so I left the relationship, I want to get back, the guy is me again. I say, what made you leave in the first place? Has he handled it? You get the point? He said, but I'm forgiving him. I said, that is not the issue. Forgive, sincerely forgive. But doesn't mean you have to go back now. Do you get the gist? So you must forgive. He said, make allowance for each other's fault. Make allowance for each other's fault. Okay? Of course, let's rush, go back. And that's, I think I'll start winding down from here. Go back to Amplified. He says, verse 6. It doesn't rejoice at injustice or righteousness, but rejoices when right and true prevail. I won't say much about that because of our time. Of course, I won't talk about the next thing. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Learn to believe the best of people. That's the sign that you're walking in love. Bear people up. Bear people up. When people make mistakes, let people be free to make the mistake around you and you can bear them up. It looks like in our generation, we rejoice when people go wrong. He said, you do hear that that pastor, that they caught him stealing church money. He said, I always knew. That's not a sign of love. Learn, you don't rejoice at wrong. You don't rejoice at people's downfall. You think of how can I bear the person up? The Bible tells us in Galatians 6 verse 1. He said, if brethren, if anyone be overtaken in a fault, he said, you which are spiritual, restore the person. So you bear people up. In bearing them up, you are showing them the love of God. How many of you know God bears us up? Have you ever made so much mistakes in your life that you didn't know that God was ever going to look your direction again? But he always looks your direction. That's how we should treat men. Whether you're a minister or not, bear people up. Amen? Next thing he says, he bears people up. He believes the best of everyone. Believe the best about people. Believe the best about them. Don't always believe. You know, some people find it very easy to believe bad things about people. When they tell you, did you hear? And we heard that our sister, we caught her at so-so place doing so-so thing. He said, I knew it all. I always knew. But then they tell you, did you hear that brother? They said he healed a mad person. He said, are you sure? Were you there? You see, your heart easily believes evil. But when they hear the best about people, you want to investigate it. He said, are we sure? Hallelujah. Now I tell you, I believe in people. Praise God. And it's one thing that helps me as a pastor. I believe in people. No matter who you are, I believe in you. I believe the best. I believe you can be better. No matter how you are, how far you've gone, I believe in you. And it's something I always trust. Sometimes people frustrate me. I just say, what kind of human being is this? But after the whole feeling, I still believe in you. Glory to God. So you must believe the best about people. So I charge you, let the wisdom of God win. I'll talk about a few things. For instance, in your biological family, I'll talk about like four different places. Your biological family, for instance, let God's wisdom win. What is God's wisdom? It's love. Love. Love your biological family. But beautiful thing about your biological family is you don't get to choose them. You get the point? You didn't choose your mother, you didn't choose your father, you didn't choose your children, you didn't choose your brothers. Okay, but you must pay attention to them. You see, that's why the Bible said when you are choosing a bishop, it must be someone that is able to take care of his own family. Because we can judge you by how you relate with your biological family. That's why love must prevail as you relate to your biological family. And sometimes truth is, they can be unlovable. Yeah. There can be sometimes your father has not given you attention for like 20 years. You know, somebody told me my father is alive, but it's better he's dead. I said, such hatred. Brothers, sisters, love must prevail when I deal with them. Biological family. Of course, tolerate. The tolerance is one thing that will help you. Tolerate them, forgive them, but make sure you are there for them. Never let evil win good. Always. Tolerate, forgive. Tolerate, forgive. That's why even in ministry, some of them may not believe in what you are doing for the Lord yet. But try to win them over and not fighting them. You notice there was a day they called Jesus and they told him, your brothers and mother are looking for you. Remember that place? I told him, who is my mother? And my brother said, there are people that listen to me. you will think that Jesus didn't go after them. He went after them at the end of the day. When he died, who was in the upper room? His mother too was there. I don't get the point. His brother, the brother James was Jesus' brother, you know, right? He was able to win that family to him. And that's what you should learn. You should learn that love will always prevail. At all times, it always prevails. Even among friends, love will always prevail. The wisdom of God is that you let love win in every relationship. I give you another example, talking about the church. When you in church, one of the things that will help you get the best out of the church is that you must love. Love who? Love your pastor, love your friends in church. Love, and when love comes, that will tell us love in the family and wherever, it will cover a multitude of sin. What does that mean? When you come into church, people are going to hurt you. Why will you be able to believe the best of them and move on and flow with them no matter what they do to you? It's because you love them. Glory to God. Why is it that as a pastor, people can approach me and tell me, see, daddy, I did this and this and that. And after everything, nobody will hear it. We'll make them right or we'll cover it. It's love. Love must make. For instance, if you're in this local church, you've entered here, fall in love with the church, fall in love with the pastor, fall in love with the members. Then train your heart to. When you walk in love towards everybody, it will be very difficult for offense to grow in your heart. Why am I talking about this? Because you know people are going to hurt you, right? We are all looking very good now and everybody just smiling against each other. Let's start. These people are going to hurt you, talk to you somehow you don't like. Has someone ever spoken to you a way you don't like in church? Love is the only thing that can cover that stuff. And so there must be love. Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1. It says, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love is that love that is found among brothers in church. Let brotherly love continue. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6, actually, verse 5 to 11, it teaches us that we should actually allow people to defraud us. I'll show you a scripture. Maybe we wind down from there. Put up NLT. Put up NLT. Let's see from the screen. 1, 2, 3, go. That's not everybody. Let's see verse 6 together. So he said he was challenged because they were fighting among themselves. Okay, next verse. Is a defeat for you. What did he say? Why not just accept the injustice and leave it like that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Where are they with brothers in church? Learn to let go of things. That's why people say, how kind of things that I should let myself be cheated? Say, I'm not doing that, you know. Look at what he's saying. You did business with a fellow believer. He defrauds you. He's saying, instead of taking it to court or fighting with a person or doing whatever, when you try to do whatever, and person said, just allow it to rest. When you try to apply dialogue, you talk to the person, you call pastor, you do this. The person doesn't want to hear. He said, because they believe, I just let it rest. You get the point? He said, why not allow yourself to be defrauded? Okay, he said, verse 8. Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Verse 9. Don't you realize that those, okay, well, that's not my sermon today. And so you find out, you must be someone that works in love. And then I'll talk about your romantic relationships. Whether you are in courtship or you are in marriage, love is what is going to sustain that relationship. I want to say something about if you're in courtship or you're married. Listen carefully to me. The word of God is and must remain the standard, both for choosing who you are in courtship with and for living in the courtship itself. The word of God is and will remain the standard. Don't choose what Christ has not told you to choose. I said again, the word of God remains the standard both for choosing and for living in the relationship. For instance, what do we learn in our relationships? Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. He said we should love, he said, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for her. So in love that sustains family, there must be sacrifice. So when you learn that love from Jesus, you already make your relationship better. You see why God's wisdom is powerful. Your family is, I don't, this love thing, all I know is, all I owe this woman is to provide food for her, to do that, and to go my way. You're going to mess your family up. You're going to make your home a living hell for yourself. And so you love, how? As Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He gave himself for her. Much sacrifice. So in your family, you want to have a successful family. Simple. Model Christ and the church. In our marriage courses, there is a course we call the model marriage. And I tell you for free before you get to that class. When you come, when I tell you. But I tell you what it is. The model marriage is not anybody's marriage. The model marriage is the marriage between Christ and the church. See, the husband has loved the wife as Christ has loved the church. Praise God. Now, he tells the women, he says, woman, wife, submit to your husband. That's because wisdom in the home. And submission does not mean anybody is trying to match on your head. You know, I wrote something now. You see, feminism is not God's wisdom. Neither is masculinism. You get the point? Both feminism and masculinism is not the wisdom of God. Do you get the point? What does the Bible teach? Love your wife. Wife, submit your husband, and we are flowing together. What if I love him and he matches on my head? Well, I won't say much. Maybe let me not talk about that. But just obey the word of God. I tell you, and pray. The Bible gave an answer to that thing you asked in 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It was telling women that are married to men that are not really born again. Look at what he said to them. That are not really following. Maybe you are trying to submit and matching your head. He said, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, so that if any believe not the word, they may be won by the conversation of the wife. So they can see how you are flowing with them, respect them and flowing with them. Perhaps it can win them over. I didn't get the point. That's God's wisdom. I know there are many crazy things happening out there. But just choose the wisdom of God. Amen. Choose the wisdom of God. Say, I am wise. Once again, in the wisdom of God. Say, I am wise in the wisdom of God. We see three scriptures and I'll let you go. Amen. Have you been blessed today? Yeah, it looked like this service is full of instructions. Okay. I'm not doing my normal, rema, deep, whatever. I just want to give you a simple solution that will help you live. And these things are not strange. They're not things you've not heard before. I didn't get the point. But there are things you have heard, but you've refused to live by. Matthew chapter 5. That's what I'm going to close. Just three scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You must love everyone. Even your enemies. Even people that are unlovable. He says, you don't know my husband. That man cannot be loved. You don't know that girl. Ah, no. You can't love her. My father is unlovable. My sister. You can't love that one. Put up NLT. Amen. See what the Bible has to say. He said, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what some people think. You pour tea, put for my cup. I'll pour tea, put for your cup. If you don't do for me, I'm not going to. That's the wisdom of the world. People that love me is what I'm going to love. If you don't love me, I'm not going to. I saw that, I think it was the beginning of this year. They say in this 2021, if somebody does not give you face, don't give him face. You don't answer. Next verse. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's ridiculous. Say, what kind of nonsense is that one? Somebody's speaking, I pray for the person. Think of that sense. I'm not going to waste my prayer. Have I finished praying for my brothers and my sisters? Pray for those who persecute you. So someone persecutes you, does something bad to you, you lay down and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless this brother. He says, sir, it's easier said than done. But ask God's wisdom. Well, let's see. Next verse. Pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. How does your Father act? He gives sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. You see how God acts? He doesn't say, well, atheists, no rain for you today. Idol worshippers, not at all. All of you that stole money last week, no sun today. No. That's when no matter, that's when people say, there is no God. God is nonsense. I don't believe in God. God, damn God, man. The guy is still breathing. And sometimes we wonder, why won't God just get angry and smite the guy? You know, I told the guys, to the world, to every other person, power is seen in strength. To God, power is seen in love. When God is powerful towards you, he loves you. So I think people come on Facebook and Twitter and say, there's no God. If he's God, he's just kill me now. I said, no, it's not God that will kill you. Witches. Witches will. So, look at that. It says, okay, let's go to verse 46. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. Okay? Continue. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. I don't get the point. If you are kind only to people that I love, that love you and are your friends, you are just acting like a normal unbeliever. We're just the street. But that's not who you are. Amen? Now, see the next verse. But you are to be perfect, even as your father. What does it call being perfect? As we're talking about walking in love all the way, right? So, walking in love, being perfect is about walking in love. Even as your father is. So I say three scriptures. This is the first one. So you walk in love towards your neighbor. You find an example in Acts 7 verse 59. That's the second scripture. Acts 7 verse 59. Where I wanted to use Jesus' example. But if I use it, you would have said, well, that is Jesus. So, but because this is not just, I'm going to use another man's example. The man Stephen. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's next verse. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that he died. What manner of man is that? That's the kind of thing that works in you. That stone is a father. But you know what happens in Nigerian film? As they want to bury the person alive, he's cursing the community. He said, nobody shall ever live above 20. That's how Nigerian film is. That's how man acts. Stephen, they were stoning him. He said, father, don't charge it against them. So even if you feel your husband or your wife or your children or your sister is unlovable, the Bible says you should love them. Praise God. When you treat as in run your relationship in God's love and God's wisdom, you are going to avoid a lot of battles for yourself. And it will work. At first, it will look like you are foolish. Remember I told you, God's wisdom doesn't make sense. People are hurting you. You are showing them love. And I tell you something. If someone has been hurting you and you've been showing him love, continue. He will come around one day. And I've proven this over and over again. Most of those people I told you that someone started me saying they were about to fight. Some of them are coming around today. And because, to the glory of God, my heart is very pure. I have nothing against anybody. So they come around and we still talk like nothing happened. Some of them, I even got to know what they did through someone. But I was still not act on that. You know why? This guy is a man of love. Hallelujah. So Father, don't charge this sin against them. Where did Stephen learn this from? From Jesus. He was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Really? Those guys were acting like they knew what they were doing. But that's what the Bible means by make allowance for each other's fault. Make excuses for them. I don't get the point. They didn't know what they were doing. They went to Pilate and told Pilate, let the blood be on our head. They know they were. They know. Let the blood be on our head. They dragged him. They beat him. You know, if it's something you did in 3 minutes, you say it happened. It took you on our west. They were planning it for long. They knew what they were doing. Jesus made excuse for them. Said they don't know what they do. Let's make excuse for people. Amen. Praise God. Don't say I'm not a preacher of love. You are a preacher of love. Amen. You are a man of love. Men will hit you. Be yourself. When people say, no, I don't pretend. I'm just being myself. That's what I'm saying. It's only be yourself. What is yourself? You are love. So tell the neighbor, say, be yourself. Touch the person. Say it again. Shake up the person. Be yourself. Don't pretend. Don't form. Act as you are. Walk in love. That's who you are. So be yourself. Praise God. Is it possible to walk in love and people take advantage of it? That's how human beings are. So I'm not even trying to tell you that. Don't worry, it doesn't happen. It happens. Human beings are like that. You say, you are doing love. Okay, on your mind, Mecca. Let's continue. We are more mature than that. Amen. I will walk in love. You will not either. Instead of you to get me so bitter, especially if you are not in a relationship, family or something, I will keep you far. instead of me to keep you around and then I'm hating on you. I don't get the point. You can't corrupt this heart. One last scripture. That's 1 Peter 3 verse 9. You can't corrupt. You can't come into my heart. You can't mess my heart up. And then I'm living in bitterness. Sometimes when people live in bitterness, I wonder, how do they pray? How do you pray? How do you pray? You're angry, you're praying. He said, not rendering evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrawise blessing. Put up NLT. He said, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Say amen. Say amen again. I love the word of God. Even if it doesn't make sense. So I love the word of God. If you hurt me, I'm going to love you. Tell that to your neighbor. Tell the person. Tell another person. If you hurt me, I'm going to love you. Amen. If you punch me, I will hug you. Now, let me say this to you. The fact that you are hearing this in church today doesn't mean you will go back and start practicing it immediately. Because after hearing it, you see, that thing you knew before will still come up. What am I saying? Keep hearing it and keep growing in it. It might take some time. You might finish hearing this and then go back and still flop. It's okay. I get the point. Just keep learning it and keep growing in it. Anything I tell you I've done, I didn't get there suddenly. You get the point? I didn't get there suddenly. People are people. They will hurt you. Praise God. They will hurt you. I said one last scripture, right? Okay, stand to your feet. Romans 12 verse 18. But stand to your feet, sir. Stand to your feet. Let's close. We're going to read that together from the screen with NLT. I'm a man of love. Amen. I don't repay back evil for evil. He said, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. He said, do all. You know why he said, do all that you can? It's not easy to live in peace with people. Do you know that? It's not easy. It's not easy. Put up another translation of this verse 18. Do all that you can. He said, if you've got. Okay, message said, if you've gotten. If you have got it in you, get along with everybody. King James. Okay, Amplified said, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. King James said, if it be possible, as much as lies in you. You know, he's not saying it's going to be easy. Some are unlovable, but everything you can put up an effort again. No matter what, try. Put up an effort. See the next verse. Put up an effort. Put up an effort. Next verse. Next one. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will repay them back. I will come back to this one day. I want to talk about it today, but we don't have time for it. So let's leave it. It says, instead, if your enemies are hungry, what should you do? Feed them. If they are thirsty, you know, this is the kind of message you don't like hearing in church. What we love is, you curse me by accident, you die by correction. And I wonder where you learned that kind of gospel from. So I touched you by accident. I have to correct me to kill me. Which Bible are you reading? You monitor me, you die. You know, somebody put up something on Facebook. He said, witches don't repent. Oh, you know, sometimes the reason why you are killing witches is because you really don't know the authority you have in Christ Jesus. Because you believe that if you leave them alive, they will keep dealing with you. With the authority I have in Christ, I can live your life. You sit down here, you sit down here, you do your charm, I did. Who wants to kill you? Stay alive. You think I want to kill you? I'm not going to kill you. You want to kill them because you are scared. But if you leave them alive, they do worse. Be alive. Sit down. Enjoy. I didn't say you sit down. I'm just saying. So he says, in doing this, you'll be heaping coals of fire. When that time comes, I'm going to explain what coals of fire is. It's not what you think. Verse 21, and I'm closing with this. Don't let evil conquer you. At least the verse I wanted to go home with. always conquer evil with good. Always. Get the point? Always let good win. Let's see the translation of that verse. Message says, don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Never let evil get the best of you. Don't let bitterness get the best of you. I get the point. Always conquer with love. Always conquer with love. Do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. You don't conquer evil by fighting. You conquer it with good. If someone has been stepping on you, go back and start loving them now. Be kind. Don't be rude. Don't be unmannerly. If your relationship has not been working, go and apply what I'm sharing with you. Sometimes the reason why you guys are always fighting in that relationship is because you guys are always complaining, looking for problem. Can't both of you just start loving yourselves? Praise God. You know, a lady chatted me up one day and told me, a married woman, married lady, has one child. So I want out of this marriage. I'm tired. I'm not doing it again. I said, wow. I said, what did he do? I said, is he cheating on you? He said, I guess. I've not caught him, but I think. And they talk. They were having a lot of issues. So I said, you're going to do something. I'm not against you leaving the marriage. She said, okay, thank you. I said, fine. But before you leave, share your husband has money. She said, yes. I said, convince him people should look for someone and give your baby to. What if you should take a weekend or a full week off, go to a nice place, people should stay there just for one. After the 1 week, when you come back, you come and divorce. He said, what am I going to be doing with him? I said, nothing. You just talk. Tell him not what he has done wrong at first. Just go there and tell him, love him. He said, sir, that man is unlovable. I said, try. The story is funny because she listened to me and did it. But you know, as the case is now, she didn't get back to me again. So after like 2-3 months, I chatted her up. I said, how is the divorce process going? She said, no, sir, sorry, I didn't chat you up. I said, you see, it has worked, it chat me up. Sometimes you consider on the problem and you tear your family apart. Love, don't always let love win. Let good, look at Amplified, say, do not let yourself be overcome by evil, but overcome, master evil with good. People are going to throw stuff at you. Don't throw it back at them. Be for them. What if after they don't recognize it? Don't you realize you're not doing it because of them? You're doing it because the Bible said so. Hallelujah. I walk in love. It's been long I thought this long, right? Normally, by now I should have been done because it's 2 services. Amen. I walk in love. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. People that you want to forgive, and is that someone that has hurt you? You know, I did a teaching once at a time. There are 7 people you must forgive. Your father, for instance, your parents, your pastor, people hurt you. Sometimes you have to forgive God. Have you ever been angry at God? You guys are bad though. I thought it's only me. Just because God see you overdoing. This is not the plan. And imagine you are angry with the only person that can help you. Then another person you have to forgive, for instance, is yourself too. If you disappointed yourself, it's okay. You've punished yourself enough. It's okay now. Forgive. Tolerate. Always let love win. Let good always win. We're going to take some confession this morning as we close. Praise God. As we close. I'm a man of love. Now, these confessions, you're going to take them seriously. We're going to declare them. We are going to announce them. You're going to see them about yourself. Because that's one way to begin to walk in these things. As you are confessing these things, you are acting. You know, when you act this way, people will think, this guy, he doesn't have sense. Everybody's fighting. No, let them talk. You get the point? You are walking in the wisdom of God. Love will forever be wisdom. People don't have to be lovable for you to love them. I love you because, not because I love you, because me, I'm love. Hallelujah. So let me say, I am wise. Let me hear you say, I am wise in the wisdom of God. I am wise in the wisdom of God. Therefore, I walk in love. I walk in love. I am a man of love. Am I a man of love? I am full of love. There is no room for bitterness, for envy, for strife, for unforgiveness. I walk in love. Love will always win. I won't let evil win. I will win with good. Love is who I am. Love is my nature. Love is my nature. I am not jealous. I'm not envious. I am not bitter. I don't have unforgiveness. I tolerate all men. I tolerate all men. I bear people up. I believe the best about people. I'm a man of love. No room for hatred here. Let me give you this instruction before we close. Do you know that for many of you, the reason... I thought we were going to get to that, but Lord said I should mention that. I wanted to leave it to next Sunday. The reason there is so much evil, things going wrong around you, might be because you've let the devil in. And you know one way to let the devil in? Is through bitterness. Ephesians 4:26. Once you allow bitterness come, it says, put it up. You let bitterness come. Go back to King James. He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You now see a colon. He said, neither give place to the devil. How do you give place to the devil? You allow bitterness settle in. You're allowing the devil into your life to mess things up. He will mess with your health. He will mess with your mind. Go back to the reference. See NLT. He said, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. See verse 27. Let's read together verse 27. 1, 2, 3, go. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. When Satan wants to find inroads into your life, he sets up anger and bitterness in your heart. And I sense the Lord said to me that as you are letting go of people and forgiving people really in your heart, as I'm talking right now, you will find certain situations turn around. Because in that forgiveness, you've closed the door for Satan to do some things in your house. I get the point. Let's go. Let's go. You know, some of you need to let go and forgive your parents and go back to them and tell them, Daddy, I've forgiven you. Give them a gift and let them pray for you. You can't hold stuff in your heart against them. I get what I'm saying. You have to. You have to. I forgive all men. Amen. I love the unlovable. Glory to God. I'm a man of love. Glory to God. Amen. Book of the three verses. Tell them, I will love you unconditionally.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.